Okay, I'm recording. So it's Parshas Bereishis tomorrow. There's a famous Rashi at the beginning of the Parsha, which Rashi says, "Amar Rabbi Yitzchak." Rabbi Yitzchak says, "Why did the Torah have to begin with Bereishis Bara? It should begin with Hakodesh Elohim, because that's the first mitzvah that was given to Klal Yisrael." And then he says that if the goyim come and say that you stole Eretz Yisrael, the reason it has to be with Bereishis Bara is because if the goyim come and say that you stole Eretz Yisrael, they'll say that Hashem created the world and He gives it to whoever He chooses. So there's a question who this Rabbi Yitzchak was. So the Taz says, Shezer Rabbi Yitzchak Yaviv Shel Rashi. So the Taz brings down a Mesorah. He says he saw this in one old writing. In a Beir of Rashi, that Rabbi Yitzchak is Rashi's father. In other words, we say Rashi is Reb Shlomo Yitzchaki. So the Rabbi Yitzchak is Rashi's father. V'lo haya lamdan gadol. He was not a big Talmid Chacham, Rashi's father. Rashi retzal lechaber avi v'la'azkiro Rashi wanted to be mechabed him, give him kavod. So he says here, va'amar lo, he said, shali zekushib echtaben al shemecha. Just ask me any question. Pick any question. Ask a question. And I'll write it in your name. So he says, v'hikshlo stam. He just said to him, lama hitchila hator v'breishit v'chulei. Why did the Torah have to begin with breishis bara? So he says, okay, so that's what he saw. But when he says that Rabbi Yitzchak, the father of Rashi, the Taz writes, wasn't a Lamdan Gadol, it's not true, because he says in the last parak in Avodah Zarah, Rashi brings the Perush on the Gemara, and he says, Lashon Abba Mori, Menuchato Kavod, Behu Nireh. So Rashi quotes his father, and his father was a big Talmid Chacham. And this Rav Yehuda Nachshoni in his Sefer on the Hagut Parshat HaShavua, he brings down that it's brought down in different sources, not always in the name of Yitzchak, but there are different sources in Chazal that, you know, so it doesn't seem like it was Rashi's father, but it's still a nice idea, you know, that he, okay, Sam, I think you're making, Sam, sorry, let me mute him 1 second. Okay, gotta mute everybody. Okay, so that's one idea. Now, on the question about why the Torah had to begin with Bereishis Bara, so Rav Bronshweig liked to quote this. So the Ramban asked this: what do you mean the Torah could have begun with? In other words, Rashi says, why did the Torah begin with Bereishis Bara? It could have begun with HaKodesh Zelachem Rosh Chodeshim. So Ramban says, what do you mean? That's an Ikar, that Hashem is the creator of the world. So what do you mean he could have begun? So of course I have to know that Hashem is the Borei Olam. So Ramban says it means that he could have done sort of short shrift and said Hashem created the world, then bang, bang, and then, you know, skip over to Yetzias Mitzrayim. But the way the Ramban takes it is that Hashem is teaching us that, in other words, in the Maasim in Sefer Bereishis, Hashem teaches us that Hashem is he's the Adon HaAretz. When people sin, bad things happen to them, like Sodom and Gomorrah, like Adam and Chava. So Adam and Chava, Adam sins, he gets thrown out. And then you have with Sodom and Gomorrah, they sin, they get destroyed. So it's teaching us that there are incidents in the Chumash where it's teaching us like Hashem, he rules the earth and people sin, and bad things happen to him. So in terms of the goyim that they claim that Eretz Yisrael is theirs, so it's saying Hashem, that's what it means. Hashem created the world. He decides who deserves to be there or not, and otherwise you get problems. So, you know, out the door, out the door. Okay, now, let me just, I'll do some pieces now, I think, from Rav Simon, unless somebody wants to say something. You're all good? Yeah. What's up, Aaron Moshe?
I was going to say that you go into the UN and you take in the Chumash and you tell them, listen, Rabbi Yitzchak says the land belongs to Arab, it belongs to the Jews. So it says, what's the point of this Rashi? You're going to go to the UN and say, Omer Rabbi Yitzchak said it belongs to Klal Yisrael. So what's the pshat? Pshat is that the Omer Rabbi Yitzchak is not for the rest of the world, it's for us to know. You got the left, you got people, left wingers who say, you know, maybe they're right, they're Palestinians, they're downtrodden, maybe they were there first, maybe this one was there first. That it's there for us, not for them.
All right, that's very nice.
I have a question though, and this question has been answered, and I just forget the answer. Yeah. Just the diktuk of the first three words, that it could say Chas v'Shalom that someone named Bereshit bara Elokim, with Elokim being the direct act of Pasuk. What was the answer to that question?
I think what you're referring to is the Gemara Masechet Megillah. It says about Talmaya Melech, how he got 70 chachamim, he put them each in different rooms, and so Bereshit bara Elokim, they translated Elokim bara Bereshit, that God created in the beginning. In other words, that you could be Toeh to think like that there's an entity known as Bereshit,
right.
And Bereshit created Elohim. So our Masorah is not that way. So when they translated it into Greek, so they translated it Elohim bara Bereshit, or Hashem created it, I think it's Elohim. Or Elohim Bereshit
bara. Elohim Bereshit bara would make sense.
Yeah. All right. Let me look at the Gemara quickly. One second. Let me grab the Gemara out. Then
there's a whole arichas on this, Fern.
I know, and you just have to wonder why it would be so ambiguously stated right up front.
Well, the Bereshit bara Elohim is, why didn't the Baruch Shalom start with his name, Elohim bara
Bereshit?
The chat is that it teaches us humility, that the Ribono Shel Olam, most people, when they write a book or they do something, their name has to be their name has to be on the sign first, with lights on and dinging. The Ribono Shel Olam shows us humility by Bereshit bara Elohim. He says, Nasa Adam Betalmoy. He says, we made. Who's we made? The Ribono Shel Olam made man. What do we made? He went and he asked the Malachim, because the man is made in the form of Malachim, you know.
Understood. So, but just like you asked before about what do we bring this to the UN? This doesn't look great for the UN either, if that's how they choose to interpret.
Not for the UN. This is for us. The idea of humility is there's supposedly no folk in the world that's similar to Klal Yisrael as far as humility is concerned. You see, the Torah ends, the Gemara brings that has the last line of the Torah has to be in the middle, can't be on an end. Lainei Kol Yisrael, when you write a Sefer Torah, it has to end up in the middle of the line. Why? Because we're really not ending the Torah. When you go to Lainei Kol Yisrael, you know that you first have to start again. You got to go back. And the Lamed and the Beis spells Lave. So,
right. I was just at a bris today and they named the boy Lave.
Okay, so that's a Lamed and
Beis. Labor Lave. What do they name him? Labor Lave.
Lave Yaakov.
It should be, well, Lave is like a lion. Lave is a heart. I don't know.
It's Lave, a heart.
So the Gemara says in Masechet Megillah Daf Tet that Talmai HaMelech got 70 Chachamim together. It says, V'hiskimu kulon adat achat. They all were on the same wavelength, even though they didn't communicate with one another. V'katvu lo Elokim bara Bereshit. So they translated Elokim bara Bereshit. So you shouldn't be Toeh to say, now you're saying, so why does the Torah write Bereshit bara Elokim?
So
the only thing I could say is, Rashi brings down in the beginning, he says Bereshit. He says, B'shvil ha-Torah shenekra Elokim, Bereshit. For the Torah, which is called Reshit, and for Klal Yisrael, which is called Reshit. And Hashem is creating the world for the sake of the Torah, that like Klal Yisrael should accept the Torah, and for the Jewish people that are called Reshit. So that's the only thing that I could think of, that's front and center. That's why he's creating the world, for those reasons. But I don't know, you have to look more. And
there's a whole arifas that the whole idea of Bereshit, that he didn't put Elokim bara Bereshit, is the idea of humility. The Ribono Shel Olam shows humility, that most people, when they write a sefer or they write something, a plain book, they want their name in the head, the lights on the top, everything.
Right.
And the Ribono Shel Olam shows humility. Then he shows it again after by Nasa Talmud.
We're going to come to that right now. Okay, so this is a piece from Rav Simon. So there's a pasuk in the Chumash where Hashem says, Na'ase Adam, Bitzalmenu Kidmutenu, let us make man. So Rashi says, we see the humility of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, like Aaron Moshe was saying. Man is like in the image of Malachim. In other words, he's capable
of... It's Pasuk Kavav, if anyone wants it.
Okay. He says, V'kanubo, he says, so he's afraid the Malachim will be jealous, you know, vis-a-vis man. It's hard to understand all of these things. So he consults with the Malachim. He says, and he says that, and then he gives other, you know, another example of that. So, and he says, and then afterwards he says, ki af pishlo siyu b'tzirato, even though the Malachim did not assist in man's creation, he says, it gives a place for heretics to kind of come up with their own thoughts, like Na'aseh Adam. So in other words, he's trying to teach humility, that he consults with his celestial, you know, court, so to speak. But it gives place for heretics to say, gee, there's more than one God. It says, Na'aseh Adam, let us make man. He says, Lo nimna ketuv l'lami derech eretz u'mida anava. So as between those two, the Torah tilts. In other words, the Torah tried to teach me humility, or teach me, like, without a doubt, that only one God is there. So it's tilting towards teaching me the idea of humility, that a gadol should be nimlach v'notel v'shut menakatan, meaning I'm running a whole organization, or I'm running a whole shul, or whatever, so I don't need anybody's rishus, but I should consult with people. That's derech eretz. I should consult with people. So he says here, and if he would write, e'eseh adam, let I want to make man, so we wouldn't be able to learn that. So Rav Simon writes that he heard from Rav Herschel Schechter, who is the Rosh Kolel at Yeshiva Ben Yitzchak Lekanan, the name of the Beis Halevi, that he brings a raya from here, that mido tovot or more chashuv than deo tovot, meaning, in other words, the importance of teaching mido tovot, the importance of teaching good attributes, that's more important than even teaching good deo, which is the proper, you know, like fundamentals of faith, it sounds like. Because Kadosh Baruch wrote in the Torah, Na'aseh b'lashon rabim, teach mido tovot, even though there's a chashash that'll lead to a kilkel with the deo tovot. So in terms of those two lessons, it's more important to teach the mido tovot.
I saw a whole larichas on this, that when you're talking about midos, the midah of humility is the foundation. The midah of anava is the foundation of the whole Torah, and they go on to say that someone who has gasus ruach, the Baruch Hu can't live with him. It says ain't any yachalada la'olam with somebody who's a gasus. This is a fairisha pasuk, I think. That someone has gasus ruach, the Baruch Hu can't live with him. So if the Baruch Hu is not with him, Kasis Ruach is the foundation of all sins. And it's in itself, the Shlach HaKadosh says, Kasis Ruach is in itself an Aveira.
Right.
So he's saying like this. He's saying that, and then he brings a piece where Rabbi Yochanan's Talmidim were asked, what's the main thing? And one said, have a Shachan Toiv, have a Chavit Toiv. One said an ayin toiv. I think it was Rabbi Loza said ayin toiv, and Rabbi Yossi said chavet shachin toiv, and Shimon says no to kochma avoyas noilad, and then Rabbi Loza said Rabbi Loza ben Arach, I think he said that it's toiv leiv. And Rabbi Yochanan said that he's right. Toiv Leiv is the most important.
Leiv Tov.
Ronnie
Dvarab, Bechlal Dvarab, Shebechlal Dvarab Debrechem. All right, so, but it's an important point. You're right, that Gaiva is at the root of all of Aveirot. All right, let me just move on a little bit now. Now he quotes the Rebbe Reb Heschel. The Rebbe Reb Heschel was a Rebbe to the Shach and the Taz. So, and there's a Sefer Chanukah Torah, which was written around 1900, which collects all the Divrei Torah from Rebbe Reb Heschel. So he wants to explain based on this the Gemara Masechet Sota. So he says, "Am Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rishmi Yochai." He says, "Kum Adam Sheishbo Gaset Ruach Ilu Oved Avodah Kochavim." Whoever has arrogance is like he's an Oved Avodah Zara. So he says, if a person's an Anav, humble, he learns the Pasuk Na'aseh Adam, that is just teaching me the meat of Anava. But the Baal Gaiva, he doesn't learn the Pasuk that way. In other words, he doesn't learn that that Hashem is teaching me to be humble because I'm not humble. So he'll learn, Chas v'Shalom, that there are, you know, more than one God. All right, now he has another pshat from the Yismach Moshe based on the Sefer HaIkarim. So that's the simple pshat on Na'ase Adam. In other words, let us, Hashem is speaking, Hamalia Shalmala. That's the simple pshat. So the Yismach Moshe, so the Sefer HaIkarim says, when you talk about creating objects in the world, so there's a Shlemus Rishon and a Shlemus Achron. In other words, sometimes I create an object, and once I create the object, that's it, it's finished. Let's say I build a chair, now the chair is built, there's no more to do with the chair, and that's Shlemus Rishon. But then some objects that are created, it's not done with the creation, and that means like man. In other words, like man is created, so then he has to work, he's got a lot of tasks to accomplish in the world. So there's a Shlemus Rishon when he's created, but a Shlemus Acharon when he does that which he was designated to do in this world and finish it up. So with this, Sefer HaIkarim says, if you look in Maaseh Bereishis, so it says, by all the Bria, by the animals, it says Kitov. In some she's it's Kitov. By man, it doesn't say Kitov. And then, in addition to which, by the other meaning, by the other animals, it says like he created them laminam, lamina, laminayam, like to their species. So the way the Sefer HaIkarim wants is coming out that when it's just created with Shlemus Rishon, in other words, I just want animals to be in the world. So it's Kitov. I'm done with the creation. I created the animal, the giraffe, the zebra. They're in the world. That's Kitov. Shoin. It's Gedug. It's finished. And then just Laminam. They just have to propagate. But with man, there's much more that's expected of man. Man has much more to accomplish in this world. So that's what the Yismach Moshe wants to say like this, that Na'ase Adam is not Hashem speaking to the Malachim. Hashem is speaking to man. In other words, not let us, let you and me make man. In other words, I'm giving you life. I'm giving you a body. I'm giving you a co-host. You have all these mental ability. You could do A, B, and C, but you have to do your part. That's Na'ase Adam. Let us make man. And with that, you'll be man when the creation is completed. So with this, Rav Simon connects us to the mitzvah Peru Revu. So Peru Revu means like, multiply and be fruitful. Let's Peru Urevu. Two terms, Peru Urevu. So the question is, what's the difference between Peru and Revu? Like, aren't they, this would be a nice pshat, a nice little pshatel for a bris. You had the bris this morning, so now it's a little Devar Torah for the bris. So what's in Peru Urevu? So the Rashi explains that Peru, if it only wrote Peru, I'd say you just have to have one child and then you're finished with it. Revu teaches me even more children. But the Radak learns that Piria is the birth. In other words, Piria means have children. Revu, now you have to raise the children. In other words, so you have Peru, you have the children, but now you have to raise the children. And this is the same idea that there's what to accomplish in this world. So now he quotes from the Sefer Noma Mitzvot by Rav Naftali Hertz Kretzmer. He's one of the Rebbeim of Rav Shach. And he says that it says Peru Revu. He says that Peru is talking about like the body and Revu in the Mitzvot. And then you'll be mechanech lemi mitzvot. And he says that therefore, he says the mitzvah of Peru Revu is only on men. In other words, there's no mitzvah incumbent on women of Peru Revu. There's a discussion in the Rishonim, they said there's a mitzvah of Shevet to populate the world, but Peru Revu is only given to the men because the mitzvah of Chinuch, Chazal teach us, is incumbent only on the father. And he says, so that mitzvah was given first of all the mitzvos, he says, because that's what we have to shoot for. Now, with this, he says, Rashi, the Chazal teach us in Bereishis Rabbah, Ikar Tol Tem Shal Zikim, Torah Masim Tovim, that when they're Osek in Piri Verivya, so their Kavana is to have children who will be Osek in Torah Mitzvot. So the key is that a person has to continue growing during his life. Okay, let's just summarize what we did, then we'll move on. So we were focusing on Na'ase Adam. We quoted the Rashi, Na'ase Adam, that Hashem was Nimlach with his royal court, the Malachim. And that's teaching me Derech Eretz, that a person in any position in life, even if he is not technically required to consult with people below him, Derech Eretz says he should consult with them. And that's teaching me a Midah Tova. And it's like similar the idea, like Chazal teach us, Derech Eretz Kadma La Torah. And in other words, like the Midot are, you know, prefatory to the Torah. So, and then we said, Rav Herschel Schachter said that that from the name of the Beis Halevi, that Mido Tovot are even more important than Deo Tovot. You know, it's similar to what they talk about. We're coming up in a couple of weeks. And when we first began this, I thought it was just going to be a couple of weeks. I'll be back in Shul Beyond, done with this. Now I don't know when the whole thing is going to be over with. But in a couple of weeks, we're going to have about the Shidduch for Yitzchak. So the question is, why?
I think we'll be here.
Yeah, so the question, so in Parshas Chayisara, so Avram sends Eliezer to go get to back to Aram Narayim to get a shidduch for his son Yitzchak. So the question they asked is, why did he have to go all the way to Aram? Why didn't he take the local population? Like Avram Avinu, he's busy makarev people, so he has all his, you know, his kibur programs. Why didn't he take a graduate from the kibur?
Because they say he wanted to have from his bloodline, because at least in his bloodline, they were... They knew what was right. So
well, all right. I think that that's
in other words.
Right. All right.
In
so
other words, they were acting supposedly over there with everybody else. They knew what was right.
Well, anyway, so I think you're mechaving to what, like, I think it's the Ran who says that in Avraham Avinu's family. So they had good midot, but their dayot were a mess. In other words, they had good midot, you know, kindness, friendly, help people out. Like Rivka was had menschlichkeit, but the dayot, they were ovdei avodah zarah. In the Knanim, so he was able to straighten them out with their dayot, the ones he was able to be makarev, but their midot were bad. So he preferred to have a girl, like for his Yitzchak, who's got good midot, and then I'll work on the dayot, rather than somebody with who's got the good dayot and then work on the midot. It's like Rabbi Yisrael Salanter said, it's easier to learn all of Shas than to change one midah. Like, in other words, a person has a disposition, very difficult, though we have to work on our disposition and our attributes in this world, but they're very difficult to change. So in the same way, here with the Mido Tovot, Hashem is teaching, like, the Mido Tovot are the most important thing to teach. And then they are also important, but Mido Tovot even more important. Okay, then we mentioned the Rebbe Reb Heschel, and it was a little shetel about, you know, he's a Baal Gaiva, so he learns the Pasuk, like, literally. But then we quote from the Yismach Moshe, that a different shot. What does it mean, Na'aseh Adam? Not that Hashem is speaking to the Malachim, he's speaking to man. That we, you and I, man, are going to create man. In other words, I'm giving you life, I'm giving you abilities, I'm giving you mental faculties, but now you have to do your part. Then you have your mission in this world to go on and create and go and do. And that's Peru Revu. Peru means to multiply. Revu, according to the Radak, that you'll teach your children and you'll raise them properly. And that's that piece. Okay, who wants to say anything on this?
The Rambam used to say that we have to make this world into a Gan Eden. It's our job to make this world into a Gan Eden. And he mentioned that the Rebbe said everything good, but Yasser Shem is called. But the truth was, the first day he hid the light, the Yor HaGonos from the Rishoyim, so that got hid. On the third day, the fruit, the trees were supposed to be the same taste as the fruit, and that changed. On the fourth day, the moon and the sun had the argument, which we learned in Mefsechtes Cholin, and the moon became the smaller one, right? But even with all these distractions, the Rebbe Shloim saw that everything was good. So you have to extrapolate from that. Like, if you go to a shir, or you hear somebody speak, or somebody writes a book, not every word is going to hit the mark, but on the whole, it's nice to tell somebody you davened well, you taught, you gave a shir well, you spoke well. You gotta. That's what you take out of the thing as a whole.
Right, definitely. See, okay, all right.
Does anyone say that the Vayivarech, the bracha, that included the Kitov in it, and why it says Vayivarech and not Vayitzaveh? They weren't commanded to pru or bu. It was really part of the bracha that they were able to do Pirion Rivya. That's how I read it.
Okay, but it mentions it more than once. One second. Let me just take a look. Okay, which pasuk are you talking about?
Kaf Chet.
Perek Aleph.
Yeah.
Okay, one second. Let me take a look.
Isn't that where we are still?
1 second. I'll tell you in a minute. Peru Revu. Right. So what? So what's the question? It's not an imperative, but it says Vayomer Elokim Elokim Peru Revu. So what's the point you're trying to make?
Vayivarech Otam, is that part of the bracha that they were able?
No. It says Vayivarech Otam Elokim Vayomer Lehem Elokim Peru Revu Melo Aretz.
So what was the bracha?
Yeah. So you're right. So in other words, let me take a look. Let me say this is pasuk chavched, right?
Yes.
One second. It's clearly a directive.
Why is it stated in Amira and not
as a bracha? So what's the bracha? So the only thing I could think of is that when you do this, in other words, like it's a bracha to be able to be Peru Revu and to raise things. That's the only thing I could think of. But let me just see. All right, so I don't know. In other words, why by Yivarech Otam Elokim? Why is that a bracha? I assume it means that you will multiply, but you still have an incumbent. All right, let me take a look. Give me 1 second. Let me take a look. Let me see what he says here. 1 second. Let me take a look.
Sorry.
That's okay.
Just every time you look at it, you see something different.
Yeah, but that's good.
It's you differently.
So it could be a couple of different shatim. It could be by Avarach Otam Elokim, that God blessed them, and the Torah doesn't tell us what the bracha is, just the bracha. And then Hashem gave them, then by Yomer Lam Elokim, Peruvu Melut Aretz V'Chibshua, and then go multiply and conquer the earth. That could be one way to do it.
But it wasn't by Yitzaveh Otam.
Yeah, no, but the Dibur from Hashem, that's a Tzibui. And the alternative, it might be by Varach Otam Elokim, by Yomer Lam Elokim, that this Tzivui Peru Revu is both a mitzvah, but it's also a bracha. You know, I don't know, like you say, like you have kids, it's a bracha, you know, things like that, and you'll accomplish in this world, and you'll build. It's both a bracha and a Tzivui. So
you didn't come across anything about this. I mean, this is...
I have in one Chumash, that they have Mosaf Rashi, additional Rashis that they took from other Sfarim. He says, Ma Bracha Birchan Lekulan, Pruvu Meluda Aretz, that's for all creatures. He says, Hosipo Bracha Leda Machaba Shishta Tubachol Abriot, Umeluda Aretz Vechavshua. So he says, he says that the Bracha is that they're going to dominate over all the other living beings on the face of the earth. Because it says Vechavshua, that's the Bracha. In other words, that
the ability to conquer?
No, in other words, like I created many creatures in this world, but you're running the show. You're on the top. So that he says,
of the pecking order.
Right. In other words, you have rulership over the animals, over everything that's in this earth. So that could be the bracha. But I'd have to look even more. All right. Let me just do a little. Okay. That's the best I have. But maybe you'll come up with something and come back and let us know. All right. Now, let's take a look further. Now, there's a piece here where he talks about it's sort of like your job role in this world. So it says that, V'hadam yabdad Chava ishto v'atara v'tilat Kayin. So Chava has a son called Kayin, and he says, V'tomer kaniti ish et Hashem. I've acquired a man for God. In other words, he's going to be devoted towards serving the Ribono Shel Olam. V'tosav led et achiv et Havel, and then she has another son, Hevel. He says, by Hevel roitzon v'kayin ayoved adama. Hevel became a shepherd, and Kayin was a farmer. And then after a number of days, so Kayin brings an offering of pri hadama mincha l'Hashem. So the Paneach Raza, which is a sefer from the time of the Rishonim, he says, why by the profession, does Hevel's mention first? In other words, it says, Et achiv et havel, by Hevel roe tzon, Hevel became a shepherd, but Kayin haya oved adama. Kayin was a farmer. Kayin was the older boy, so you'd think that would mention his trade or profession first. So the Paneach Raza says that Chava said, Kaniti ish et Hashem, that first when he's born, somehow Chava knew his tafkid in this world is to serve God, to be like clergy. and that was like his profession that best suited him. But he says, Panach Raza says, when he saw Hevel going out in the world and becoming a shepherd, he figured, let me go and look for something to do in this world. I want to, produce something. And he became a farmer, even though it wasn't such a good fit for him. So Rav Simon goes on to say that it's a limud that everybody has to find like their niche in this life. In other words, like the tafkid that they're meant to do, and he shouldn't focus on what other people are doing. Like, in other words, let's say you go to college. So like some places everybody's pre-med, so I'll be pre-med, but like a lot of the people become doctors and they can't stand it because and even though they're qualified and they're very intelligent, but that's not really what they're like meant to do. He says, Hashem gives kochos to everybody. So the Gemara says in Masechet Brachot, Daf Yud Zayin, it says Margalef Papaya Drabanan Diyavna. There was like Margalef Papaya. It was like a custom they would frequently say. Or the other pshat is Margalef Papaya. It's like a pearl in their mouths. Ani Biria V'Chavei Rai Biria. I'm one of a creation, and my friends are creations. Ani Malachti Ba'ir V'Hu Malachto B'Sadeh. I work in the city. I study in the base medrash. He works out in the field. He's Obed Adama. Ani mashkim alti bu mashkim alto. I get up early. I do my malacha. He does his malacha. Shem shuino mitgadir b'malachti, kacheni mitgadir b'malachto. He says, like, he doesn't desire to do what I do. I don't desire to do what he does. B'shem tamar ani marbev hu mamit. So maybe you say, look, well, I do so much more in terms of mitzvot. He does very little. So shaninu echad marbev echad mamit. Like, whether you do a lot or you do a little, your kavanah should be the same shemayim. And then there's a gemara in Chagig on Daf Hey, Tan Rabbanan, Shoshak Hashem Baruch Hu Boch Eliyim B'Chol Yom. There are three people that Hashem Baruch Hu cries for every day. He says, Al She'ef Shalom L'Sot B'Torah V'Eino Osek. On a person who could study Torah, but he doesn't study Torah. That's one person he cries for. And the second is, V'Al She'ef Shalom L'Sot B'Torah V'Eino Osek. The person can't study Torah, but he does toil in Torah. And the third is V'al Parnasa Mitgal Tzibur, like a leader who like lords it over the community. So it's a well-known question. So I understand Hashem cries. A person could study Torah and he doesn't study Torah, Hashem cries for it. Why does Hashem cry for the person he can't study Torah, but he does, he's toiling in Torah? So here Rav Simon quotes from Rav Herschel Schechter. He says that Hashem Baruch Hu is both on people who osek things that they're not gifted for and not l'fi their kochos. In other words, that not everybody is suited to understand the Chidush Reb Chaim or Ketzos or Chidush Reb Akiva Eger or the Evan Azel. So if a person, he's not suited for that task, and yet he's devoting himself in that direction, Hashem is crying for him. He says, in certain, now not in the great neck type community, but in yeshivish communities, so it's expected that everybody stay in yeshiva for at least, when they're adults, like at least a number of years. And not everybody's like so well suited for that, In Eretz Israel today, it's like a big issue, like in the Haredi community, so everybody's staying in yeshiva. And, the question is who's supporting that whole community, and that creates tensions in the state of Israel between, like, if you look at the whole community, they're basically the non-frum people are supporting the frum people because the frum people, they want to study in yeshiva and they have 10 kids and they're not working. So who's supporting them? So, but the issue is not everybody is suited to spend time in the yeshiva. I remember this story I heard from Reb Braunschweigel. He should have a refuah shlema quickly, b'tov shor kol Yisrael. So the way I remember the story is, he said it was in the time of Reb Yisrael Salanter that there were that Reb Yisrael Salanter was walking on the sidewalk, and these people, their job was like to carry loads from place to place. That was like their profession. And he heard one fellow say to the other one, he says, oh, look at these yeshiva guys. They just spend the whole day in the yeshiva. So easy, I could do it here. I'm working. I'm killing myself. How come they do that and I do this? So Rabbi Yisrael Salanter went to them. He says, He says, listen, why don't you go study yeshiva? I'll pay you whatever. And we'll see how it goes. So the both of them, they show up in the davening the first day. And then after davening, they didn't really know what to study. They didn't, their learning wasn't so, you know, accomplished. So they said, let's do Chumash with Rashi. So they started doing Chumash with Rashi. And then after a half hour, they got tired with the Chumash with Rashi. And then they said, well, we'll say Tehillim. So then they said Tehillim for another half hour. Then afterwards, they said, what are we going to do with, how are we supposed to stay here the whole day? We can't, you know, there's nothing for us to do here. So Rabbi Shmuel Salanter said, don't, like, poke fun at the Talmidei Chachamim. In other words, it takes a skill to be able to sit in yeshiva and study the whole day. Anyway, so that's that piece with this. So then Reb Simon, so we have Kayan and Hevel. So Kayan has gone into a profession which doesn't suit him so well, which is the farming profession. So he says he saw in the Kovetz Kol HaTorah, Reb Simon did, in an article by Rav Dov Beresh Rosenberg Shlita, that he explains this Paneach Raza. He says that it could be the Ratzon of Chava was, that Chava's intention was that Kayan and Hevel will be Mechalek like Yisachar and Zebulun. Yisachar and Zebulun, so Yisachar are the people, their Shevet studies in Yeshiva, and Zebulun are the people, they're busy with business. And the Zebulun people are supporting the Yisachar people. So it could be, he wants to say, that was Chava's intention. Kayan is going to be like the clergy, and Hevel will be the working person, and that'll be the way it will go. So he says, and he quotes from the Chasam Sofer, that was Yitzchak's intent also with Yaakov and Esav. He thought that Esav will be like the working person, Yaakov will be the, you know, the Yoshev Olim, Yaakov will study Torah the whole day, and Esav will support him. And Rivka saw that that wasn't going to work. So anyway, the point is, though, that everybody has to find their tafkid. So with this, he quotes from Rav Avraham Yitzchak Cohen Cook. Rav Cook was the first Ashkenazi chief rabbi of Eretz Israel. The Sfardim had chief rabbis going back into the 19th century, but Rav Cook was the first Ashkenazi chief rabbi in Eretz Israel. He passed away in 1935, and his thoughts are not easy to understand. His Sfardim are very confusing, his philosophy, just to understand what he's saying. But he has a lot of thoughts that relate to, you know, Zionism and modernity. He was present, I believe, at the Cornerstone for Hebrew University in 1922. And he had studied in Volozhin, Rav Kook did. So Rav Kook writes in his Perush on Nusach that we say in Yom Kippur, Elokayach don't start the Eni Kedai, that until I was created, meaning until I was born, I wasn't appropriate for me to be born. He says, V'achshav shno sarti kilu no sarti. And that I've been created, it's as if I wasn't created. So he explains, so what are those, it sounds like some conundrum. What do those words mean? So he explained it, that everybody has a tafkid, and it means, Elokai shno sarti nikitai. He says, before I was created, so it wasn't the time for me to be created in this world. In other words, Ajlan Sarti Eni Kedai. In other words, my neshama is existing in Shemayim, and Hashem sends me down to earth at a certain point in time. So till that time arrived, so that wasn't my time to come down on earth and do what I'm meant to do. Because if there was something, then I would have been created. So he says here, but now, he says, now that I have been created, so there's much left for me to do. I haven't accomplished yet what I've been sent down here on earth to do, because I'm still alive and there's still left things that I need to accomplish. So he explained that Kadosh Baruch Hu creates everybody at a certain time, that everybody should use their kochos in this world to accomplish what they're meant to accomplish. And even now, like, we're all alive means there are things left for us still to accomplish in this world, and we have to find those things and do them and accomplish them. So with this, he explains that it also applies to inanimate objects. Rav Simon says, so the Navi says that after the Churban Bayit Rishon, Darchei Tzion Avilot, the waves of Zion are all mourning. So the Medrash brings down Amar Rav Huna Hakol Mevakshin Tafkidan. Everyone seeks their purpose in this world, even the pathways seek their purpose. So in the Sefer Shira David by Rav Aaron David Goldberg, it says the whole Bria was created just because of Klal Yisrael and for the Torah. So Rashi says in the beginning of Parsha Bereishit, Lim Chazal, the world was created for the Torah, which is called Reishit. So he says in the Chidusha of the Brisker Rav, you know, I think I'm going to do this Brisker Rav with you in a minute. So he says that, like, everything is created for a certain tachlis. And the Rambam brings down that it could be like somebody builds a palace, but the purpose of the palace is just that some tzaddik gets shade in the palace years later on. Okay, let me just mute everybody 1 second.
Nothing. I just spoke to this guy today.
So he says here, so he says that when Klal Yisrael went into Galus, so the purpose of these roads in Eretz Yisrael was to serve the Ole Regalim, like to serve the people making Aliyah the Regal. And now that Klal Yisrael has been exiled, so they're not able to fulfill their tafkid. So let's just summarize what we did in this piece, and then we'll move on. Anyway, so the basic idea is everybody has a tafkid in this world. Everybody has a mission in this world to accomplish. And Cain's mission was to be in the clergy, and he tried. He saw Hevel being a shepherd. He said, I'll do farming, but he wasn't meant to be a farmer, and it didn't work out for him. And we said that, you know, Hashem cries for people who are not in the right tafkid, and if people have an opportunity to study Torah, they don't, so he's crying for that. And people have an opportunity, and sometimes they do study Torah. Hashem is crying for them because they're not meant to be in the Beis Medrash. And Chava's intent was that Hevel would support Kayin, but that didn't work out well. Then we quoted from Rav Kook in the Siddur, Al-Kayin Shasarti Eni Kedai, V'Hashem Shasarti Kilim Shasarti, means that everybody is sent down to this earth with a mission to accomplish. And while we're here, we're still meant to accomplish that mission. So everybody has the task to get fulfilled, and even inanimate objects like the pathways in Zion, they have their mission to accomplish. Okay, any questions, comments, thoughts, anything so far? What's up?
I guess it's a bracha to find your tafkid smoothly.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Nice to have you with us, Ruth. You know, let me get, there's a safer I left in the other room. Let me get a safer, and I'll be back in just 1 minute, okay? All right, so this is a piece from the Brisker Rav, that's Rav Yitzchak Zev Soloveitchik. He was Rav Yosef Soloveitchik's uncle. He's he and Rav Moshe Soloveitchik were the sons of Rav Chaim Soloveitchik. So he passed. He made it to Eretz Yisrael, and he passed away in 1959, I believe. He passed away in 1959. So he quotes the Gemara Masechet Avodah Zarah. The Gemara says, "Latid lavo, in the future, Mevi'a Kadosh Baruch Hu Sefer Torah Menicho B'Chiko. Hashem is going to bring a Sefer Torah and hold it in his chest. But Omer Lamisha Asak Baba Yavo B'Yitol Scharo. In other words, it's like you know Mashiach Zeiten. It's like you know like in the Olam Haba. Like now that everything is past, now he's making a cheshvan. So Hashem is going to hold the Sefer Torah and said, let everybody, you know, come and claim the reward for toiling in Torah. So miyad mekasin vayin. So the Gemara says immediately all the nations they gather themselves together and come to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Nichnasal fanav malchut Romi tchila. So the Romans come in first, and they say, Ribono shalom harbei shvakim takninu. We established many marketplaces. Harbei merchatzot asinu. We made many bathhouses. Harbei kesef zahav yirbinu. We amassed a lot of silver and gold. We did it all for the sake of the Jewish people, that they should toil in Torah. Everything we did was for the sake of the Jewish people. What do you think of that argument? Anyway, so he says here, Amar lehem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shotim Shebo'olam, So Kadosh Baruch Hu says, you fools. He says, Kumasha sitam sorach asvachem asitam. Whatever you did for yourselves. He says, like, you did the shvakim, you know, I think to get, he doesn't quote the whole thing here. You got the marketplaces because you wanted zonot, and you build, you know, whatever. Everything you did for your own interest. So miyad yatsu b'pachei nefesh. So they go out, they're like downhearted. Yatsat malchut romi v'yatsat malchut paras. And the Persians come in afterwards, and they say, we made harbei gesharim gesharnu, harbei krachim kabashnu, we built many bridges, we conquered many cities. We all did it for the Jews. And he says, no, you did it all for yourselves. So the Briska Rav says, it seems strange. Why would they say, like, a Kadosh Baruch Hu knows the MS. He knows the absolute MS. Why would they, like, have the temerity to say that we did this for the sake of the Jewish people? They know. So he says, and this is Latid Labo, that Umos HaOlam will know and understand the Kadosh Baruch Hu, and there won't be a time for Sheker at all, for lies. So how could they make such a tainim for them? And he says, the emes is that there's no lie in what they said, that they said it was absolute truth. How? He says, in a Kadosh Baruch Hu, when his tshuva doesn't say you're lies, he just says you're fools. He says, and the bayer is, that in the beginning of the Bria, the world was only created for the Israel and for the Torah. In other words, the whole creation of this universe is for the sake of the Jewish people and the Torah. In other words, the Torah is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the whole world was created just so we should accept the Torah and follow the Torah. That's the whole universe is created for that purpose. He says, like Rashi brings down Chazal, Bereshit, the word Bereshit, Bishvil Torah Shnekrei Reshit. Bereshit means for the Torah, which is called Reshit, the first. And he says, Reshit Darko, and the Jewish people also call Reshit Tebuato. So everything is for Klal Yisrael. And he gave land and this Rishut, so he divvies up the world and everybody can do what they want, but the world's not Hefker, and nothing, he says, everything in this world eventually comes to that Tachlis. So then he quotes the Rambam, and this is what was mentioned earlier in Reb Simon Sefer. Rambam in his Akdam the Perush HaMashnah writes, it's possible that a person builds like this big palace, and the palace is just for a pious person that will come many years later and get shelter on the shadow of one of the walls. And so with that, he explains that the Umos HaOlam, they built marketplaces and bridges in Merichat Zaot that all had a tachlis for the sake of the Jewish people and for the Torah, because everything in the world is created for the Klal Yisrael and for the Torah. And they didn't build it with that intent. So it's like a different way of looking at history. In other words, like it's we're the center of history, the Jewish people, and everything is in the world for our sake. Whether, you know, sometimes not everything goes well for us because we have a veirot, but it means everything is for the sake of the Jewish people. All right, Arthur, you want to say something or are you good?
All right, I'll say something. I mean, there's a lot of stuff. Bereshis, they say Bereshis is bris. The word bris is in there. If you take the first two letters, the last two letters, and then you have Aish in the middle, that you have to have a fire burning for Torah. That's the only way to learn Torah, if you have it in a fire learning for Torah. And the Vilna Gaon, he has an acronym. He says Bereshis stands for I think he said Betochen, Rotzain, the Shin is Shtika, and the Yud is Yira, and the Tav is Torah.
All right. Now, let me just mention there's a Chafetz Chaim here on the Parsha. He says that, like, when a person, makes an investment, he always intends that his return should be greater than his investment. In other words, let's say I build a store or whatever. So then I want to make money from the store. You know, whatever I'm building, whatever I'm doing, I intend that the result should be greater. So he says the Ribbono Shel Olam created this world, and the world is, you know, it's a whole, it's like a whole universe. But he did it all for the sake of the Torah. He quotes, he says, "B'shvil Torah shnekar reishit shnemar Hashem kanani reishit darko." The Torah is speaking, Hashem acquired me reishit darko, the beginning of his path. So it means that as great as this universe is, it's all created for the sake of the Torah, and the Torah is even greater than that, because in other words, the investment, the result is always greater than the investment. So if I build a railroad, you know, I want to make money from it. I open up a store, I want to make money from the store. So whatever I put in the store, so the return I hope is greater than the investment. So the same thing here, Hashem creates the world, so the Torah is much greater than that. So he inveighs against people who say like, what are they wasting time studying Torah? What tachlis is it? But that's the main thing with that. All right. Now, one last thing, and I think this will be it. This is a piece where Simon said, he went over this in more than 1 year, and this relates a little bit to what you were saying before, Aaron Moshe. There's a Rashi, it says, Bereshit bara Elokim. In the beginning, Elokim. Elokim is the five-letter Shem Hashem, which is Midas Hadin. So Rashi says, V'lomar bara Hashem. It doesn't say Yud Kei Vav Kei created the world. Elokim created the world. So Elokim is Midas Hadin. Yud Kei Vav Kei is Midas Rachamim. He says, Shebetchila la b'machshava l'barotob b'midas Hadin. Initially, he thought, I'll create the world with Midas Hadin. In other words, Din is like absolute justice. You know, that's it. He says, V'ra'ash ein olam etkayim. He saw the world can't survive with that philosophy. So then he took Rachamim and joined it with Din. And so later on, this is in Perek Beis, the day that Hashem Elokim created Eretz Shemayim. Hashem is Midas Rachamim, and Elokim is Midas Adin. So Reb Simon, he quoted from the Shem Yishmuel, and Shem Yishmuel said, it doesn't mean like Hashem, like, you know, changed his mind or something like that. He was saying that the act of creation is an act of din. In other words, when Hashem creates the world, so there's an act of tzimtzum. He has to limit himself. This is the way Rav Lerner had explained. Like, in other words, like the whole universe is filled with Hashem, and he's creating the world, so he has to be mitzamtzim himself. He has to limit himself. So when I create limits and I create boundaries and borders, that's Midas Hadin. So Hashem Emela, for the act of the Bria, of necessity had to be with Midas Hadin. But Hashem knew that the world cannot continue just with Midas Hadin. So Memela, he added in Midas Harachamim. Now, he quotes, and I think it's here in the Shem Yishmuel as well, and Rav Simon had, again, this is from Rav Simon. There's a Gemara with, I'm sure you know it, in Masechet Shabbat. It says about this person who comes to Hillel and Shammai and says, I want you to convert me. So he came to Shammai, he says, Gairini Menachtam, Deini Klo Torah Kulok, Shni Omed Al Regal Achat. Why don't you teach me the whole Torah while I stand on one foot? Dechafo Ba'amar Abinyan, Shabiado. So Shammai chased him out with the Amar Abinyan. The Amar Abinyan is like the measuring rod. In other words, he says, and then he says, Balafni Hillel Girei. And then he said he came to Hillel. Hillel accepted him as a convert. Is the Amar Lo Da'alaf San El Chabrach Lo Ta'aved. He said, that which is hateful to you, don't do to your friend. He says, Zui Kola Torah Kulav Idach Pirusha Hu Zil Gemor. This is the whole Torah, and the rest is commentary. So Shem Yishmuel says, what does it mean he chased him out with the Amar Abinyan? The Amar Abinyan, that represents that which is finite. In other words, that's Midas Hadin. So Shammai was just using the Midas Hadin. And Hillel was using like Midas Rachamim. So the idea is that, like the way Rav Simon was saying, that like a person can't be too rigid in this world. In other words, it's important to have, you know, organization. You know, let's say each day you get up, you know, you daven at a certain time and you learn at a certain time. And that's Midas Hadin. In other words, I have like certain set times for everything. But sometimes things come up. In other words, like you know, like, I don't know, like your wife has got some emergency. She needs you to help her, you know. So if I'm going to be rigid and I say, this is it, din. So it's going to lead to a lot of churva. So you have to have that aspect of flexibility. You have to have that flexibility in the olam with this. Now let me see what he has here. War. One second.
It goes.
Yeah, what's up?
I'm saying it goes back to the Leif Tov. I saw the because Torah ends with and begins with the word Leif together, and Tov is the 32nd word in Rashi's.
Tov is the 30. Yeah. So
Leif Tosca brings it down.
Yeah, he mentioned.
And there's a Leif Tov in compares all the things that the other people said, Shachan Toiv and this Toiv and that, and Anroyas Hanoilat. So you have to have be tolerant, but even more than tolerant, you can't get angry at anyone.
Yeah.
You can't angry at the worst.
Yeah. Now, he mentioned that if you look at the Bereshit Bara Elokim, between the word Elokim and the next Elokim are 13 words, 13 words before. I didn't count it up, but there's 13. You'll count it up. You'll let me know, Fern. Anyway, so there are 13 words between the two Elokims. So he says those 13 words, and I think he was quoting from the Yitav Lev on this. He says those 13 words, those correspond
13,
to the,
yes, 13.
Yeah, they correspond to the Yud Gimel Midas Rachamim.
Midas Rachamim, yeah.
Right. And there was the 13 attributes of...
The Yitav Lev says too.
Who says this?
The Eighth of Leif, the Satmas, the Eighth of Leif.
Right. That's what I mentioned. I think he said the Eighth of Leif. So he said, now with this, he said, like in the Slichot, there's a Slichot where we say, Tamachti Yitato Tai, Bishloshes Rei Tevot. I've like supported my stakes, my pegs, with Shloshes Rei Tevot, with the 13 words. So why does it say 13 words? Why does it say, so you could say, well, it means the 13 midot, but he says the 13 midot, what do you mean the 13 midot? Some of the midot are more than one word. Like Erech Apayim is two words. So what do you mean the 13 words? So he says it's referring to these 13 words. So it means Elohim represents the aspect of din, but it has to be sort of like mollified or like moderated with the Midas HaRachamim, All right. I think that's going to be it for today.
Thank you.
Okay, let me see if there's anything else here to say. I'm sure there is more to say, but I haven't digested it yet. All right. So who's that? Anyway, nice having everybody. Let me end the recording, unless anybody wants to say something. Okay, I'm going to end recording.